I haven't had my chance to share a testimony publicly before either, so thank you. And God stretches us in different ways. And one of the first things, is this okay? Okay. One of the first things he showed me as I was sitting here today is, have you ever had a pair of boots that comes up to about your knees and you have to lace them up? Well, one side of the lace hooks represents my natural life, and the other half of the hooks represents my spiritual life, and the thread, the cord that binds them in my vision is gold, and it's the Lord pulling it all together. I have to cling to the scripture that says all things work together for those who believe, and also I can't quote chapter and verse very well, but then there's this scripture that says basically he won't waste anything that's happened in your life. So my name is Sandy. Sandy means helper. And legally, my name is Sandra, which I always thought was my in trouble name. And Sandra is the feminine version of from Alexander, which means helper of mankind. And when I was Sandy as a little girl, I was very much a helper everywhere, at the church, at the school, at the everywhere. Teacher's pet, all those kinds of things. And then as I'm maturing, I hope and believe and I pray that I will become a helper of mankind. Okay. On my 25th birthday, my parents spent quite a bit of time reminiscing, I guess, and they discovered by doing math after high school that I was made in Japan. My mother is Japanese and my father is German, second generation from Germany, and I was raised Catholic. So I was sprinkled as a baby and dedicated to the Lord, and for that I'm very grateful, because as I grew up, I knew God. I knew about the triune God. The Catholics have a really good handle on that triune God, and I accepted it as though it was just, you know, food and water. It was just breathing. And so for me, that was a really, really good thing. I understand a lot of new believers have a problem with a triune God, and I can't comprehend that. But anyways, I grew up in a very strict, harsh, alcoholic-flavored environment, and in my early teens, chose to begin to rebel, and then as I got out of the house, I just flat-out ran away from God. And a lot of us have done the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and I didn't do it to the extreme, to the nth degree, but I still was there. And yet all this time I was seeking, because I know there's more, there's more, there's more. So with that I dabbled in the occult a little bit. Again, minutely, but still, it's dabbling is dabbling. And one of the things that happened, and I almost hesitate to say this, but God is good and God has grace and it'll cover it. One of the things that would come out in the alcoholic outbursts when the lectures turned to character assassination and the beating or the spankings turned to beatings, oftentimes my dad would say, "You goddamn kids, you're going to go straight to hell." He said that repeatedly over our lives. And as parents and anyone who has spiritual authority, I've come to learn you have to be really careful about what you say. He started saying that over us as very young kids, and I have forgiven him, and I pray, I just bless him, because he didn't know. He did not know the impact and ramifications, but I believe that there has been an anointing on my life that's starting to come to fruition, but because of what was said over me early on, I believe that it also gave the enemy free rein to try to obstruct or derail or, you know, redirect or whatever, and cause me to go down some of these unholy paths. So I was born in 1959, learned because of my half Japanese, half German heritage, I learned a lot about character development very early on. And then that made me very strong, very confident in some ways. But again, I knew there was more. And so eventually I was born again in 1994, but this is after I had moved to Alaska. So my first 20 years, I was in Spokane, Washington. And the second 20 years, I was in Alaska. And then the third 20 years is apparently here in Oregon. But for that second 20 years, I was in my early 20s, probably 22, 23, and I moved to Alaska with a one-way ticket. I didn't know anyone. I had a place to stay for a couple of weeks because of a friend of a friend of a friend helped me find a place to stay. And I knew in my knower, because of the way I was raised and being a fairly smart, somewhat educated kid, I knew that I could get a job. I could sing the alphabet song and count to 10 and take a message and type. So I knew I could get a job somewhere in Alaska. And I think the Lord moved me there to move away from my family of origin because He wanted me to be free to grow. Okay, so sometimes, and I didn't know it, I just thought I was on an adventure. And it was a holy adventure, because that's where I was born again, in a pretty good sized church. And then we moved to Oregon, and that's when I started to meet with Spirit-filled believers in the different churches we attended. And that was, it's all I wanted. It's what I wanted. And then interestingly, based on some of the things that happened as a child, you can imagine I have a hard time believing that God the Father loves me, that God the Father is safe. And I grew up in a family of three girls and hardly any neighbors, and we were so far from school it was hard to have people over, so I didn't have much relationship with boys. And I didn't have any brothers, so relating to Jesus was a little bit kind of out of my realm of experience as well. But for some reason, when the Holy Spirit touched me, I really got hooked on that. It's like, I can believe that. And it was absolutely incredible. And from that time on, things really started to bloom and to grow. This is kind of a hopscotch testimony because I am jumping around a little bit, but it does all tie together eventually. And but the Lord is so good. The Holy Spirit teaches you in the ways you're able to receive it and to accept it, and at the speed you're willing to obey. And speaking of obedience, I learned as a small child, if you don't obey, you're going to get whacked, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get a lecture. So obedience came fairly naturally to me, although it wasn't heartfelt, it was simply doing it. Okay. And then interestingly, all my years, from when I was a very small child, I loved animals. And I think the Lord gave me that love for animals as a safe place during my childhood. And so I learned about animals, I wanted to be a vet. Was told I'm not smart enough to be a vet, but that worked out too. God used that, because now I get to practice a lot of veterinary types of things in our current life, but without all the responsibilities of like billing clients and all those kinds of things. So anyways, the Lord does use things that are in your heart. And then I became an obedience instructor. I have taught hundreds of people and dogs how to work your dogs. So I'm a dog trainer, and dog trainer teaches the dogs, obedience instructor teaches the people. And so the Lord has kind of blessed me with that, because I can use it in a wide range of places, including things like volunteering in the high schools. But back to how the Holy Spirit's been working, He started to show me where some of my giftings were, even as a small child. He revealed to me that a dream I had as a four-year-old was directly related to things going on in my family, but I didn't get the interpretation until I was about 35 or 40, okay? And then I had a creative bent of drawing and painting, and I kind of stifled that, but now the Lord's using that. When I receive a vision for somebody, I can often draw it out for them so they'll have a memento and be able to pray about it or to receive it. But more than anything, I guess I want to encourage folks to reach out to the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to work. Try to figure out, that it is Him speaking to you. I mean, if you get a thought that's really not your own, it's probably the Holy Spirit, okay? And I had some really awesome mentors in some of these Spirit-filled churches, and in prayer groups in particular, intercessory prayer groups. And one of them we were in prayer for a lady whose son was deploying. And this is the first time I acknowledged actually receiving a vision of some sort. But as I was praying, I saw something. And the woman, we were sitting in a circle, and the woman across from me said, "Sandy, what do you see?" And I said, "How did you know?" So the Holy Spirit can work in so many places, like he can work everywhere at once, which is very awesome. But I told her what I was seeing for this woman, and basically the very first vision that I ever shared, like in public, was this vision of a soldier's helmet with a silver cross embedded into it, and it was immovable. And that was the answer to this lady's prayer, that she was sending her son off to war. This is back in about 2004. He was deploying, I think, to Afghanistan, and she wasn't sure of his salvation status. And so the very first vision the Lord gave me was a snapshot. And as people encouraged me and mentored me and helped me and taught me and dragged things out of me, because they would always say, "What do you see?" The Lord gave me more and more and more. And then the Lord brought Bert into my life, and that's a whole separate testimony. And then that's another 30 or 40 minute testimony. But anyways, the Lord called us to move from the Amhill Valley, or McMinnville, to this area to, of all things, introduce the gifts of the Spirit to a Baptist church. And that was very interesting. And it was, in looking back, you see, it's how the Lord had to work in that situation, because the Lord started giving me visions for people before we even got to church. Because we would come over once a month, make a one-day trip, and go to church, deliver a message for somebody, and then leave. And it had to be that way because the people had to know that I had no foreknowledge of them at all. And yet the Lord would give me a word of knowledge, something very specific in their life, and then we could speak that into them. And so he's pouring out his Spirit in so many different ways. And then finally, when you have a passion, like for me, I really love animals. I really love them. I understand their purpose, and I understand that they're not people. They're not people with fur or feathers or scales on. They are animals. But the Lord gave me a real passion for that. And at one time, some of my Christian friends said, "Well, Sandy, you have to be in ministry to help people, not the animals." And I says, "You know, every one of these animals I work with has a person attached to it. The person brought the animal to me." And because I had a boarding kennel up in Alaska. And I said, "There are some people that have walked into our house whom I've prayed with or who I've prayed for who would never set foot in a church." And it still stands true today because Bert and I have a boarding kennel in our house. And we've only placed just a couple of two or three ads. Every other bit of our business has been, you know, word of mouth. And we just pray. And usually within 24 hours we get a call, you know, when the Lord's building our business. And he's using us to pray for and intercede for all of our clients because of their dogs. And we've got people coming to us that would never set foot in a church. So even having gone through some of the difficult times of my childhood and the poor decisions and opportunities that presented themselves in my early 20s and 30s, God will redeem all of that. He's our great redeemer. And thank you.
Good job. Thank you, Sandy. Good job. I liked how she shared Sandy, and that means helper. And a lot of us would be like, "Oh man, I want like a helper. Like, you know, give me a big name." But she's taken it. She's owned her inheritance, and she's gone after it. And that's really cool. That was really good. So.